Morning. Our gospel reading today comes to us from Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through chapter 5, verse 3. Fresh from his baptism and wilderness wandering, Jesus launched into his public ministry of healing, teaching, and building the kingdom. Let's listen together. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, people possessed by demons or having epilepsy or afflicted with paralysis, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." May God bless this reading and our hearing. Amen.
Well, some of you know that just about a month ago, Deirdre and Simon and I, we drove to New York for Owen's, my older son's graduation commencement ceremony in New York. The Louis Armstrong Arena in Queens was this grand venue. There were gowns and smiles all over the place, and there was joy and excitement in the air. But the joy quickly changed when the commencement speaker, Sinead Burke, began to speak. So let me back up a little bit. We were excited to hear her speak, and we read this about her in the program, which I'll gives her a little bit of a bio. Sinead Burke is the founder and CEO of Tilting Lens, a consultancy founded in 2020 with the ambition to create equitable and systemic change through the lever of accessibility. With an all-disabled team based across Belfast, Berlin, Glasgow, London, and Trim, they craft solutions with disabled people to build an accessible and equitable world. We were excited to hear what she had to say and to learn what she had to teach us, but as it turned out, we heard little of what she said and learned even less from her. Because she chose to begin her commencement speech preceding her prepared remarks by articulating demands that she had been given by the New School Students for Justice in Palestine. She demanded that there be an immediate ceasefire and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. She demanded that there be divestment from the university assets from Israel and demanded that all of the police presence be removed from campus. The response was predictable. Initially, there were hoots and hollers of approval, and Palestinian flags came out from under gowns and were waved around. But then the booing started, and then a large Israeli flag was unfurled atop the stands, and people held up phones with yellow ribbons advocating for the release of the Israeli hostages. And then the profanity started, and the profanity grew, and it kept on growing. And then there were two students who got up and started shouting at the audience and walking down the aisles and shouting at Ms. Burke and shouting at the administration in tears, saying, "I just want to have my graduation today." All the while, my Jewish sister-in-law sat next to us in tears, feeling less and less safe. I think many of us did. So this went on for what seemed like a really long time, and then all of a sudden, Ms. Burke just pivoted. She stopped talking about the demands, and she decided to just go into her prepared remarks that I wish we had heard more about. But at that point, she had lost the room, she had lost the audience, she had lost the opportunity to teach most of us anything about anything at all. So my experience and our experience that day in this season of campus protests, it was not unique. This has been repeated in commencement speeches across the country, and I've been thinking about that, reflecting on that, lamenting this dynamic in our culture, and feeling some sorrow. But let me be clear. I am not sad because she chose to dive into a controversial and timely issue. I'm not clutching my pearls because she was a bit edgy. I'm not offended by her politics. Friends, we need prophets in this world. We need those who push us, who disrupt us, who advocate for those without voice, who advocate for an end to violence. We need those who till the soil and move us forward, energizing us to lead a real and lasting change. But in this case, I don't think that Ms. Burke was being prophetic. I think she was merely contributing to what Middlebury professor Rebecca Neal Gould calls communal cortisol. Cortisol is a hormone. It gets produced in our adrenal glands, and it often comes after adrenaline floods us with a fight or flight response. Cortisol then takes over. It keeps us aggressive. It keeps us on tenterhooks. It keeps us every nerve away or ready to pounce all the time. And Rebecca Neal Gould, I think, in an article in the Addison Independent just a few weeks ago that Sally Kirshner gave to me, she rightly pushes back against communal cortisol and that dynamic that we have, recognizing that it keeps us from nuanced, complex, and sustained conversation over time that leads to actual transformation in this world. I'm going to quote her because she's worth quoting this morning. She says this. To be clear, she writes, I'm all for worthy protest and have dodged tear gas and police at various points in my own protest life. I'll support any truly nonviolent call to bring warfare to a definitive end, but protests, counter-protests, and unwanted police responses are so often shot through with communal cortisol. Aggressiveness, forceful demands, and media hype, sometimes they become their own occasions for violence, thereby risking distractions from the causes they seek to address. In such context, I try to remind myself that another, better world is possible. And so this morning, let's take a few minutes in conversation with Ms. Burke, with Professor Gould, and with the Gospel of Jesus Christ to remind ourselves that a better world is possible. Let's pray. Amen. So it's not enough for me to stand up here this morning and be critical of Ms. Burke and similar commencement speeches. It's not enough to be critical without offering suggestions for a better way to a better world. And so the suggestion that I have to offer today comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 23, through chapter 5, verse 3, this lead up to Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. The suggestion that I have can be summarized not with the words communal cortisol, but with the words teach, heal, and build. Let me say more. So at this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is just beginning his public ministry. He's, about 30 years old. He's been baptized. He's wandered in the wilderness. He's launched into the world. He's begun calling followers to help him in his work. He's excited, he's passionate, he's ready to till the soil, to be the prophetic voice for the transformation of the world. But look here how he goes about the prophetic task. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. What did Jesus do? He taught and healed. He taught and healed, and he taught and he healed. And this two-prong approach was effective. It worked. People were excited by it. The crowds gathered around him, and they came to him with open minds and open hearts and bodies open for healing. It was effective. And when they came to him, Jesus recognize this opportunity, yes, to teach and yes, to heal, but also to give them a vision of a better world that he called the kingdom, a kingdom of peace and justice, a kingdom of love. And so as they came forward, He went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all those who were sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, and great crowds followed him. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he doubled down. He went up to a mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak, and he taught them, giving them a vision for building a better world. Value and listen to the poor, he said, and the poor in spirit. Care and comfort for those who mourn. Give a priority to meekness, he said. Take care of those who hunger and thirst, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Bless the merciful, bless the pure in heart, bless the peacemakers, and become a peacemaker yourself. Jesus was passionate, he was excited, he was ready to transform the world, but he didn't want to have people afraid and angry and to have fingers shaken in their faces and to be filled with cortisol on tenterhooks, ready to pounce at a moment's notice. He needed them to be supple. He needed them to be open and cared for and hope-filled. He needed them to be healed physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And so as he taught them, and as he taught them how to build a better world, what did he do? He made sure to heal every disease and sickness among the people. I have no doubt that Miss Burke at Commencement 2024, that she had a lot to teach us. I have no doubt that she was trying to show us a way, a better way to a better world, but like she did, and so many others have done, and I do so often in my life. I want to teach, and I want to cast a vision, but I forget the deep need for healing that exists between us and within our hearts and our bodies and our minds. And friends, I am so tired of cortisol, aren't you? I'm tired of split-screen cable news and headlines about everyone bashing everyone all the time that makes me keep my phone scrolling just so I can get the next cortisol hit and keep the aggression going. I'm tired of the ways that we demonize one another and divide with one another. I'm tired of the ways that we do all of these things that keep us distracted and doing anything but the real work of transforming the world. The real work of finding a lasting peace with justice in Palestine. To do the real work of freeing the hostages, Israeli hostages, of doing the real work of ending the war in Ukraine. I am tired of all of that cortisol, and I long for a better way to a better world. So here's my suggestion. I warn you, it's easy to say and hard to do. My suggestion is this: as you go about your life doing what you do, as you wake, as you rise, as you play, as you work, as you parent, as you grandparent, as you great-grandparent, as you do yoga, as you paint and sculpt and dance and write, as you do all of the things that you do, keep this question on your tongue. Is it healing? As we go about doing what we do, to ask ourselves, is what I'm doing, is what I'm saying, is what I'm intending, is the vibe that I'm showing off, is the prayer, is the protest, is the commencement speech, is the sermon, is what I'm doing contributing to the healing, the bodily, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional healing of those around me? To ask ourselves, is it healing? Which is such an essentially important question, because as Jesus demonstrated so long ago, that when we heal, the people will gather around with open hearts and open minds and bodies open for healing. And with open minds and bodies and hearts, we will be open to learning a better way to a better world with love. And as we are open to that, we will then be able to contribute to the building of that better world. Teaching and healing and building. And friends, I think it all begins with this one question that we forget to ask. Is what I'm doing in this world, is it healing? And so out of that, we come to our time of anointing with oil in the name of the healing Christ. In just a moment, we will bless the oil, and we'll have our deacons and pastors set up around the sanctuary while we sing and chant. And you're welcome to move as you are moved to one of those stations. Present your forehead or your hand to receive the oil. There's nothing magical about the oil. It's just perfumed oil. But it is a blessing in the name and with the trust and the promise of healing in Christ. If you choose not to come forward for any reason, that's totally fine. You too are loved by the healing Christ, and we invite you to just do what's comfortable for you. If you would like to be anointed in your seat, just raise a hand and one of us will come to you. And we'll sing two chants at some point along the way. Cameron will switch us and we'll move from one chant to another. And so friends, now just be and just rest. Just take a deep breath and hear this blessing over the oil. Healing God, we give thanks to you for the gift of oil. You taught us to anoint those who were sick, and so we pray, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on this gift. Move us beyond cortisol. Mend the brokenness within us. Repair the fractures around us. Sew together the tears between us. For we pray it in Jesus Christ, the healing one. Amen. Deacons and pastors, I'll invite you forward.